Hello, everybody. Welcome to Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. And I know we all want that. All right, well, let's hear what Rick has to share with us today with the final part of a message called Daring to Give God My Best.
Now, to be the best I can be for God, first, I have to do it intentionally. I have to make the choice to go after it. Second, I must discipline myself. And of course, this is what athletes do. No athlete becomes a pro athlete without discipline, without training. You don't become great by doing whatever you feel. You don't become great by living by your moods. You just can't make up your own rules. You can't, there are no shortcuts to maturity. There are no shortcuts to greatness. Look at a couple of verses. Verse 5 says this: if anyone competes as an athlete, he cannot receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. And in 1 Corinthians 9, 25, 27, to win the contest, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes into strict training just to win a ribbon or a medal that won't last, but we do it for an eternal reward that will last forever. So I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Now, we all know stories of what Olympian athletes give up in order to win a gold medal. They pretty much put their life on hold. They put their social life on hold. They have a rigid schedule of when I get up in the morning, when I go to bed at night. They have a rigid schedule of the training table, what they eat, what they won't eat, what they do, what they don't do. They give up. They make enormous sacrifices to win a gold or silver or a bronze. And God says, you know what? Nobody's even going to remember those rewards. And they gave their whole life. They gave their whole life to something that's just going to vanish. It's not going to last. But he says, it is a wise move to do that for something that's going to last forever in eternity and to make your life count and say, well, okay, there's some things I can do without so I can spend more time with God, so I can give more to God, so I could serve more, so I could be more in what God wants me to be. I would again ask you this question: what am I willing to do without in order to be the best? Am I willing to do without popularity? Am I willing to do without wealth? Am I willing to do without comfort? I saw a poster yesterday and it said this: the pain of regret is always greater than the pain of discipline. That's a pretty profound statement. The pain of regret is always greater than the pain of discipline. How would your life be better if you had been just a little bit more disciplined early on in your life? What are some things you could be enjoying today if you had been more disciplined in earlier life? The pain of regret goes on and on and on. I never learned that language, and I wanted to, but I didn't. I never did this. I never did. It takes discipline. What do you wish you'd been more disciplined about? I would say, start now. You say, well, Rick, how do I be more disciplined? I try for a while, and then I give up. It's because you're depending on your power, not God's power. Willpower doesn't work. Let me just be real honest. Willpower doesn't work. It'll work for about 90 days. You can change anything in your life for about 90 days. That's why almost 100% of New Year's resolutions are over by March. Because you could force yourself to do something, anything, for about 90 days. And then you're going to give up. You don't need willpower. You need God's power. And how do you get God's power? By focusing on his reward. Notice the secret to personal discipline is in that verse. It's right there. He says, we do it for an eternal reward. And that leads us to the third key we learn from athletes. Write this down. To be the best I can be for God, I must stay focused on the reward. I must stay focused on the reward. What's the payoff of doing right? What's the payoff of doing good? What's the payoff of serving Jesus Christ? Just rewards for out eternity. That's no little ribbon or pin you're going to get in this life. I have to remember the result, the prize, the payoff, the reward. By the way, did you know this is what caused Jesus to be able to endure the cross? How was Jesus able to put up with all the beating, the suffering, the punishment, the torture, all of the evil and the mean things they did to him before he went to the cross and then nailed him to the cross? How did he put up with all that suffering? The Bible says he looked beyond the pain to the reward that he was going to receive and the benefit and the prize and the payoff. The Bible says this, look up here on the screen, Hebrews 12. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. You're in a race whether you realize it or not. It's the race of life. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that joyful finish with God in heaven. He could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. You can handle enormous pain in your life, and you can handle enormous discipline in your life if you realize there's a better purpose for it and there's going to be a payoff at the end. When you forget the payoff, when you forget the reward, when you forget the prize, then you're going to give up. And that's why Paul says, run to win in your life and keep your eye on the prize. Know what God's doing. Can you imagine yourself in heaven receiving the prize of God, the well done, the commendation, and the promotion and the rewards that God's going to give you? Let that motivate you. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 9:26. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. He's purpose driven. All right? I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm not just playing around. The problem with a lot of people today, they're just shadow boxing. They're air guitaring their Christian life. They're pretending. They're just playing around. They're just hitting the air. They're not serious. And he says, run straight to the goal. You need to stay focused on the finish line. You need to stay focused on this fact. Everything you see is one day going to be gone. So you shouldn't be investing a lot of time and money and energy in it. You should be primarily investing your time in things that are going to last forever. What's that? Love, the Word of God, and people. Those are going to last forever. Everything else isn't going to last. And so you ignore the crowds. And if people cheer you or people jeer you, you just ignore them. You're running the race. You keep your eye on the goal, and you don't waste energy. How many things did I do this last week, wasting energy on things that really don't matter? How many things did I worry about this week that really doesn't matter in the long scheme of things? I need to be more focused, more purpose-driven, like the competitive athlete. Then finally, we come to the third metaphor, and he says, you know, you can learn from agriculture. You can learn from farmers some truths about your spiritual life. And here's what the Bible says about that. 2 Corinthians 9, 6-14. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Then, if I give not out of pressure or reluctance, but cheerfully, then God will generously provide all you need. This is a promise. And you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer. And then he gives the farmer bread to eat. And in the same way, just like he does with the farmer, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. And your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Now, I could spend a week on this text, but let me just summarize it. Your life on earth is like planting a garden. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that while you're here on earth, you got 60, 80, maybe 90, at the most 100 years. While you're here, you're planting a garden. And the kind of seeds that you plant while you're here on earth, you're going to harvest in heaven. What you sow on earth, you will reap in heaven. What you plant on earth will be the fruit that you get to enjoy for eternity in heaven. And he said, if you plant generously, if you plant a lot of seeds, you're going to have a lot of fruit in heaven. You're going to have a lot to joy there. But he says, if you plant sparingly, you're a miser, and you hold it back, and you don't give it away, he said, you're not going to have much up there. He says, if you sow generously, you're going to reap generously. Now, five times in the Bible, Jesus gives the same command. And he says this, I tell you, store up treasure for yourself in heaven. 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 Anytime God says something five times, he's saying, I really want you to get this. I highly recommend you store up treasure in heaven. Are you doing that? You say, well, how in the world do I do that? By planting seeds of generosity. Anytime you plant a seed of generosity, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about what you give of your life away. You're planting a seed of generosity. When you help somebody else, when you are unselfish, when you serve, when you put yourself out for the benefit of somebody else, when you do something totally unselfish, when you are generous with your time, when you are generous with your money and your income, when you are generous with your reputation, when you're generous with your talent, and you use it for the benefit of others, not yourself, you are planting seeds. And he says, I highly recommend that you sow generously because you want a lot of fruit in heaven. You want a lot there. Here's the final lesson. Write this down. To reap a great harvest, I must plant generously in faith. I must plant generously in faith. Kay and I have done this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. You know our story. You know that Kay and I give away 91% of our income and we live on 9%. And we raised that from 10% every year for 40 years. You cannot outgive God. I just give you a clear example. I played this game for 40 years with God. I lose every year. You cannot outgive God. Let me end with two promises of Jesus. Luke chapter 6 says this. Give, and it will be given back to you. You'll be given much. It will be poured into your hands, more than you can hold. You will be given so much, it will spill out on your lap. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you. Underline that verse. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you. I highly recommend you start being generous in planting seeds in this life to harvest in the next. And then in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, 31, Jesus gives a guarantee about anything you give up for his sake. Mark 10, 29, 31, Jesus says this, I guarantee you this. Now, if God guarantees something, you can count on that one. Okay? I guarantee you this. Anyone who gives up anything for my sake and for the good news, whether it's a home or a family member or property, will get more than that back. This is a guarantee of Jesus. Multiplied 100-fold. And, he says, in this world to come, in the world to come, they will be given eternal life forever. Now, God says, anything that I give up for his sake, for his kingdom, anything I sacrifice for him, I will be returned 100-fold. Do you know what 100-fold is? That's 10,000% interest. Do you know any stockbroker who will guarantee that? Do you know anybody who will guarantee you 10,000% interest on your return? No, you do not. Only God and sons can do that. They've been doing business with people like you for 2,000 years. That is the promise of God. Now, you can either believe it or you don't. But if you don't believe it, why do you believe Jesus will save you and take you to heaven? That's the same Jesus. Why do some people trust God with their eternal salvation and don't trust God with their finances? That does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. So when we look at these three people, the soldier, the effective soldier saves lives. The effective athlete wins the prize. And the effective farmer harvests a larger size 100-fold. Now, as a close, in this message, I've asked you a couple times to consider, what is it that I might give up or let go of in order to have more time for the things that matter in life? What is it that I could let go of in order to give more, to serve more, to share more, to be all God wants me, in order to be the best you can be? Now, the fact is, there are a lot of things in your life you could probably do without, and you wouldn't miss them. A lot of things. But there is one thing you cannot do without. You got to have this one. What you cannot do without is a daily, deep connection with Jesus Christ. If you're going to grow and become the man God wants you to be, if you're going to grow and become the woman God wants you to be, you have to have a daily, deep connection with Jesus Christ. You can't live a day without him. Because these things that we just talked about, these seven things, three from the soldier, three from the farmer, and one from the, three from the athlete and one from the farmer, these seven things, you can't do them on your own. You can't do them on willpower. You'll do them for a while and you'll give up. You need God's power. You need to be plugged into him. And that's what it takes. Let's bow our heads. Would you pray this prayer? Dear God, I have to admit that I have not always used my time for things that really matter. And I have wasted energy and money on things that aren't going to last. But I want that to change. I want to run my race to win. I want to win the prize. I want to reap the harvest. I want to please my commanding officer, you. And Lord, if that means sacrificing my comfort, so be it. If that means and involves eliminating distractions, so be it. If that means even being willing to die for you, so be it. I intend to win. I want the rest of my life to be the best of my life. And God, I know I can't change on my own. I don't have enough willpower. I need your power to discipline myself, to go for the best, to stay focused on the reward. I'm asking you to teach me to plant generously so I can harvest abundantly in the next life. Help me to not be short thinking. Help me not to think of only the here and now, which is not going to last, but to live my life the way you intended me to in light of eternity. And to do now what I will later enjoy for eternity. If you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and save me right now. I want to know you. I want to trust you. And I want to learn to love you. I give you myself completely. And I ask you to use me for your purposes. In your name I pray. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
What a life-giving message from Pastor Rick. And now here's Rick with a special message.
Jesus told his disciples that they should live their lives according to five specific purposes. He said, you've got to love God with all your heart, that's worship, and love your neighbor as yourself, that's ministry, that's called the Great Commandment. And then Jesus said, go make disciples, that's evangelism, baptize them into the family of God, that's fellowship,
a sign of fellowship. And then he said, teach them to obey everything I've taught you. That's discipleship. And we call that the Great Commission. We believe at Daily Hope that a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will produce a great Christian, a great church, a great company, a great community. You know, I started Daily Hope so I could spread the good news about Jesus, not just across America, but all around the world. And we want people to know that God's word is filled with hope and truth. And the power that we need to follow him every day is available to every single one. You know as well as I do that the word of God changes lives. It's alive, it's active, and it breathes new life and new love into all of our lives. So wherever you listen to this, whether you listen on the website, whether you listen on a radio station, or whether you listen through a podcast, you're a part of the Daily Hope family, and I need your help. We could not do this without your support. Now, you know, I don't take any funds from this broadcast. We don't have any giant million-dollar donor who's giving big gifts to this. It comes from daily donations from listeners like you. We're 100% listener-funded. Would you continue to pray for this broadcast, and would you continue to support us? And write to me. Let me hear from you. I absolutely love reading the stories that are sent to me. So write me, pray for me, and support this ministry. And God will bless it, and God will bless you, and we'll get to heaven, and we'll thank God for all the people going to be in heaven because you cared.
If you'd like to help support Pastor Rick in this ministry with a financial gift, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.